please state your full name?
James Dallas Stanley.
Could you tell us your address?
Post Office Box 777, Owensville.
And your phone number?
674-2021.
Okay, your approximate age or date of birth?
Date of birth is 9/25/46, and I'm 46 years old.
What was your mother's name?
Edna.
What was your maiden name?
Last name Crawford.
Okay. What was your father?
Esther Stam.
As far as back as you can remember, could you name some of the places where you lived and when?
Well, I lived in Lewis County, Kentucky, on Oak Ridge or Zion Ridge until I was 18 years old, started college. And I lived in Madison County, Berea, Kentucky, for the next 4 years while I was in college. Then I lived in Vietnam for a while. I was in the Army right after that. And I've lived in Richmond, Alexandria, Harrogate, Tennessee, New Tazewell, Tennessee, Berea, and Bath County.
Okay, what about your education?
Okay, I graduated from a one-room school for the first 8 grades. I attended Oak Ridge Elementary School. At the time I graduated with a graduating class of 3. We had one teacher for all 8 grades. And it was quite a change when I started high school. It was the first consolidated school that I had gone to. In Lewis County High School, I had to ride a bus about 24 miles one direction to high school. And during the elementary school, I had walked all the time. We didn't have a bus, walked about a mile. And had to build a fire in the pot-bellied stove in wintertime. Carry the lunch and walk about half a mile to carry water back to the old one-room schoolhouse. And when I started the high school was in Vanceburg. It was an old building. In the first 2 years, I went to school there. And then they built a new school. So the junior and senior year, I attended Lewis County High School out on Salt Lake, where it's presently located. My graduating class there was 100. I was ranked 18th out of 100, so I wasn't the best student there, nor the worst. I was lucky enough to be accepted to Berea College and attended Berea College from 1964 to 1968 and received a BS degree in agriculture. From there, I had been accepted to the University of Kentucky to do student teaching in agriculture and was drafted in the meantime and postponed that, but I did come back after I got out of the military and finished my student teaching and have a master's degree from the University of Kentucky, a master's degree from Eastern Kentucky University. I have 9 quarter hours from the University of Tennessee and 3 semester hours from Moorhead, and I'm presently taking more classes at Eastern.
How about your religion?
Well, I am a religious person. I'm not the best that there was. I'm a Baptist, but I think sometimes we get too hung up on denomination. First thing we need to be is Christian, and then our denomination is choice. Some of the things aren't necessarily our choice. And I think the first thing we need to think about is being Christian rather than what denomination we are.
Well, with business, political, and social membership, past and present.
Business, political, and social
memberships.
I'm a member of Kentucky Education Association. I'm a member of Bath County Education Association. Kentucky Vocational Agriculture Teachers Association, National Vocational Agriculture Teachers Association, and National Vocational Association are the professional areas. I have been a member of Cattlemen's Association. I was a member of the American Legion once upon a time. I'm not currently a member. And then Soil Conservation Service. I'm district conservation director here in Bath County. I'm on the Farm Bureau Board of Directors. I'm site-based counsel at school. And that pretty well sums it up, I think. I believe that's about got the areas covered.
Okay. What about your present occupation?
I'm an agriculture teacher, specializing in agriculture mechanics.
What kind of former jobs have you had in the past?
I was raised on a farm, so we milked a bunch of old cows by hand and put in some tobacco. Had a little corn, a little hay, those kind of things, general farming. When I started Berea College, I worked in food service. There was a cooked breakfast. It was one of the first jobs I had at off the farm. I also did some construction work during summers and whatnot. I carrying hob and doing general construction labor. I taught school for about 20 years off and on. I've built houses. I've worked as a welder for a year. Worked in a farm mechanic shop while I was at Berea College. I also worked in one summer in a greenhouse in a piggery as labor only. Farrowed sows and clipped needle teeth. Worked in a greenhouse keeping weeds killed and bugs killed. Those kind of things, and we had some shrubs out on the grounds that I had to keep mowed and sprayed and pruned. And then the 1 year as a welder, and that worked while I was in the military. I worked as a generator operator, mechanic, and welder. And that pretty well sums up my experience, I think.
What kind of special skills would you consider yourself having?
Well, that's a tough one.
Don't want to brag on yourself.
I'm a reasonably good small engine mechanic. I've had quite a bit of experience working with tractors, lawnmowers, small engines. Experience welding, experience doing carpet work, framing. But I hope, would like to think, since I'm a teacher, that one of my better skills is communicating with a group, with classes. That's one of the important things, regardless of what job you do, one of the important things that you need to have is to be able to communicate with people. And that you need to be basically honest and open as much as possible with people in order to communicate effectively with them.
What about your major accomplishments?
Well, on a personal note, I feel that my major accomplishments is I have a wonderful wife and two kids that I love a lot. And on a personal note, that's my major accomplishments, is to have found a wife and have two kids that I think as much of as I do. Professionally, to have begun where I did with the financial opportunities that we had, or as the case may be, did not have, to have managed to complete college and be certified and get a degree and be able to teach agriculture, I think is pretty much an accomplishment considering background and opportunities and lack of money, some of those kind of things. And I would have to contribute a lot of that to my parents' expectations and willingness to sacrifice for my my brother and sisters and myself.
Is that all? All right. What about national events which you have participated in?
I guess the largest national event that I participated in was the Vietnam War. When I was high school age, the Vietnam War lasted for a long time. And when I was high school age, about all the young men in high school knew that as soon as they graduated from high school that they were very likely to be inducted into the military. And once you were in the military, you were reasonably sure that the vast majority of you were going to go to Vietnam. So that had something to do with attitudes during the 60s and the very early 70s. So when you see some of the things that were happening and study history, part of that attitude was because you knew you were going to Vietnam, pretty much. And so I was lucky enough to get to complete college before I was drafted and inducted into the military. And I was inducted into the military, had basic training at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, and went from there to Fort Sill, Oklahoma, and was trained as an artilleryman with field artillery, and then went to Vietnam and actually worked in a self-propelled 8-inch and 175-millimeter artillery battery, and just worked a couple of weeks as an artilleryman, and then was moved into maintenance section as a welder, generator operator, and mechanic. That's one of the things, I guess, like most everyone else that was in Vietnam, I still don't really understand exactly why the war was conducted the way it was conducted. I do know that the United States thought when they sent troops to Vietnam that it would be a fairly short war, that once they sent in ground troops and the Vietnamese saw the United States Marines make a full beach landing, they thought they would say, okay, we give up and quit. And it just didn't work that way. They fought guerrilla tactics. And it was hard to tell with the Viet Cong who was a Viet Cong and who was not. They may be your barber in the daytime and come back at night as an enemy soldier. If we look back at history, we can see that that's kind of the way that the United States operated during the Revolutionary War. Guerrilla tactics, pretty much the same methods that were used in Vietnam. It was very difficult then to tell who was a rebel, who was not.
See, what about local events you participated in?
Local events, one of the things that we can go back to, I don't know if you consider it as a local event or not, but since agriculture is my field, from the time that I was a child on a farm, I can remember when we farmed with mules and horses. I can remember the first tractor that we had. And at the time most people were farming with mules and horses, one person employed on a farm could only feed himself and three others about the turn of the century. By the time I was a young man, probably 15 to 20, and we were a little behind times. Most people were using tractors before we started. But today, with the mechanization of agriculture, one person now is farming as much land as a lot of people could farm back in the 40s and 50s. Our production's gone up. We've seen improved varieties of corn, improved varieties on tobacco, improved varieties of soybeans, better fertilizers, more efficient machinery, so that one person is able to produce enough food now. One person working directly in production agriculture can produce enough food for himself and somewhere around 70 to 75 people. And that's a major change. We've seen a large change in modes of transportation. I've seen I-75 and I-64 begun and completed. I've seen roads go from most of the county roads and a lot of the state roads when I was a child were either dirt roads, creek gravel, or white rock. Most of those nowadays are paved. City water was almost unheard of out in the country when I was a young man, and now you see city water available in most places in the counties, and where it isn't available, it's being planned to make it available. So the quality of life has really gone up for all rural Kentuckians and all Americans during my lifetime.
Are you a national born U.S. citizen?
Yes. Could be like a fellow down one of the counties a little south of here. There's a little community called Egypt. Yeah. And many years ago, he filled out some papers and they asked him where he was from, and he put Egypt on them. And they called him in and wanted to know if he were a citizen. He was a little upset. He said, "Well, yes, I'm a citizen." He said, "Everybody knows I was born right down here in Egypt." So you need to be a little cautious, I guess, about what you put down. But yes, I am. I was born in the United States.
Right.
Have mixed ancestry. I'm a true American melting pot. I have little Irish, a little English, a little German, and a little Indian blood, and probably some unknown.
Okay. Is there anything else you'd like to say about the war?
War in Vietnam?
You ever served in the actual combat?
Yes, I did.
What was it like?
Scary.
Ever have any close calls?
Yeah, a few. One of the big things in war, the biggest thing that was day in, day out, was boredom. And when you think of war, you think about battles being, you know, constant from the time you go till it ends. It isn't like that. The battles last short periods of time. They don't seem short at the time. But if a battle lasts 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 10 minutes, some firefights over a minute. It seems like a lot longer than that. But even if it lasts for 30 minutes, 45 minutes, or an hour, and you do this only once a month or twice a month, that's still very short periods of time. And the rest of the time, it's very boring when there's nowhere to go, no recreation to be had. We read, everybody in the unit I was in had read every book that was there at least once, twice on a lot of them, every magazine. They were passed from hand to hand and read till they were worn out. And it was just trying to fill in time when you weren't standing guard, on patrol, busy with details, those kind of things. You still had some time that you needed to fill in. So boredom was a big thing. And the actual firefights, I think about everybody was scared to death most of the time. You had to practice enough. What you did a lot of times was pure reaction. You didn't have time to think about what you were going to do. It was purely reaction.
Yeah, I guess that's good enough.
That's being in Vietnam was an experience that, and I'm sure you've heard other people say, it was an experience I wouldn't take anything for, but I would not wish to go back at all.
Well, how about that? Thank you.
You're welcome.